naked up in a bath of ice. I'm a victim of an organized. You know it is true. You know this time you're never gonna get it. But you already stole my heart. Yeah, you ripped it and tore it apart. You know it is true.
Welcome to Cutthroat Queens Podcast, where we make fashionable leather corsets out of the skin of our enemies. I'm joined by a rat king and a dozen tiny trench coats, Chelsea Pumpkins, and a packet of expired Astroglide, Elvin Skelter.
I'm Slippy.
Anyway, welcome to Cutthroat Queens. I'm sorry that we've been gone so long. We all just had like a month in January and didn't even announce to you all that we weren't going to do an episode. We just vanished, but we're back and we missed you.
It was a very busy like end of the year. So even like in December, Chelsea ended up pulling it all by herself because we couldn't. Breakaway Elton was very sick,
releasing a book. I released a book as well.
Oh yeah,
plus it's like
you're always doing that though.
Work. Chelsea's traveling a lot.
She is everywhere. Like you could probably look outside your window right now and see Chelsea. She is literally Carmen Sandiegoing all over the country.
I am.
Chelsea is my sleep paralysis demon.
I am. I'm also a bunch of rats in a trench coat.
A rat king. With
the Rat King
tied together,
a bunch of trench coats. Just the Rat King needed to stay warm. They're not trying to be anything other than what they are. They just needed a little trench coat to stay warm.
Anyway, I hope they're lined, wool lined trench coats.
Okay, so we're going into 2024. We've just gone into 2023.
We're going to treat this like the New Year episode.
Yeah, we have no guests either because we are not the best at planning and we knew we couldn't really commit to scheduling guests this month. So it's just going to be the three of us, but we're going to talk about some cool stuff. We've got stuff to talk about. So
yes.
It's been a while. We want to catch up. We want to catch up with you guys and someone say something to kick off this little party, this little shindig.
Well, we wanted to reflect a little bit about 2023. When we recorded our first episode, we like set goals because it was January. I didn't accomplish mine.
I don't even remember what mine were, to be honest.
I wanted to write a novella and I did not do that. I did outline one. So like that should count.
I don't think it does.
No?
It's still part of the process. She started.
I started the process and I have some words. There are some words that exist, but I wrote a bunch of other shorts.
As the great human being that I am, typically I would be like, yes, that counts. You're doing a great job. But I don't want to give you an inch because I want you to finish the book. So I can't give any kudos until it's done.
I know.
And I'm going to show up. Seen any evidence of this book.
Yeah, Chelsea.
You've seen the outline.
I know, but that. Correct. There are words, but they're not. They're not all in order and they don't all make sense. So, you know, you could have given me a shopping list and said it was part of your book. And I'd been like, well, it's a crap book, but you know,
it's a crap
for starting. Stop it.
This says Wegmans on it. Elton doesn't remember his goals, but what are you most proud of that you did in 2023?
I am proud of the fact that we managed to do a whole year of podcasting, to be honest. It wasn't always easy trying to get us all, like, we're on different time zones, trying to get us all together at the same time, and then factoring in the schedules of all of our guests as well. Like it's hard work, and then you have to like plan what you're going to talk about and make sure you keep on track, and sometimes we went off track, and there were a couple of times where me and Chelsea drank too much and Brooke annoyed at us. We had some conversations behind the scenes about being professional and it wasn't all joys, but what we produced, the actual product in the end, was completely joyous, and it set out to do exactly what we wanted to do, which was to praise and to uplift the new up-and-coming authors and people in the indie horror scene and give them respect and props for their works, whilst also like helping us keep our own motivation going as well. That was really, it was a defining factor in keeping us all motivated and achieving what we achieved last year. So I'm really grateful that we did this and that I stuck with it, because there were a couple of times when I wanted to just not do it anymore. So I just didn't turn up for some episodes and became a myth in the background. But you covered for me and you were very gracious about it. And I thank you both very much.
You also do all the editing, so don't sell yourself short.
And I released the Cutthroat Queens album.
Did you know that Elton does our theme song?
I've never heard this before. Tell me more, please.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Waking up in a bed of ice.
What was it that Chris said he thought the words were the other day?
A bed of ice.
A bed of ice.
A bed of ice. Waking up in a bag of rice. Reset.
So
yeah, what about you guys?
I have to echo that. I agree wholeheartedly. I am so proud of us because we didn't phone it in either. I think that we really tried to put it out there and do a good job every time. And I really love the friendships that we've been able to make with this. Like we got to meet so many great authors that are, I'm not even just authors. Like we got to interview artists because we interviewed illustrators and book publishers of bookstores, cover designers, editors. And it's just like such a great feeling to put their work out into other people's views, I guess is the right word. I don't know. And also to make besties.
Oh, so many besties.
So many besties. It's been really cool. We've like made some, like we've connected some people, like Stephen Rhodes. Like, remember Brett, we connected him with Ruth Anna Evans
to
design the cover for the anthology that we're both in together. Yeah.
Inanimate Objects that just dropped. That was a really cool one. Was
Inanimate Things.
Inanimate Things. I keep doing that. Every time I'm searching for it, I am typing it wrong. I'm like, what is this wrong for? And then I'm like, oh, it's because the whole ass wrong word. And then like we got two of our guests randomly found each other because of that. So NJ Gallegos. And Jolie Tomajon. They found each other over a love of the Real Housewives. And I haven't, because I didn't get to interview NJ. And
jealous that we didn't.
She is going to come back on because she is writing a follow up to the book that I interviewed her about, and we are going to get her back on when she has finished it because it's going to be so good, and I need to talk to her about what happens next for Casey. So
I'm going
to
stalk her at StokerCon so we can hang out.
Yeah, I stalk also, her.
In case nobody knew as well, she is one of the co-hosts of the Scream Kings podcast as well. So eventually, one day when we can sort it, I'm going to swing by that and talk to NJ about queer horror. So that's going to be cool.
Oh, that'll be so fun.
I did travel for, she had a book signing in Illinois, but her stock got lost in transit. So she had to cancel at the last minute, but I had already gone there. So that's why I stopped. I think I stopped and donated the books that Chelsea gave me to have signed to an independent bookstore.
Well, thank you. That's where they belong.
But they didn't have a very good collection of queer horror. It was a queer bookstore, and they had a lot of independent, but they did not have enough queer independent horror. So
name and shame them, Brett.
Don't do that. Well, it's not even a shame. People need to stop by there. It's in Bloomington, Illinois. I posted about it, but I just don't remember. And it's just, people don't always know how much great is out there in the world.
Also, I think a lot of these sort of indie bookshops as well don't really know, unless people go in there and say, can you have a look at this author, or can you have a look at this book? Mm-hmm. So it's up to like the readers. If you're passionate about a book and you love an indie author, we can't physically be everywhere all at once. We need you guys to go to your local libraries and to go to your local bookshops and say, would you consider stocking this? Like, we send out as many as we can to bookshops to consider, mm-hmm. but if you want them there, if you want to see more of a surge in indie horror in your bookstores, just go and ask them. I mean, there's usually like return policies, so they don't lose anything from it. It's just go and ask.
And that's why I left Chelsea's books there. I left a copy of the 90s anthology and both of the NJ books that Chelsea had shipped to me to have signed. That was so funny. So Kelsey had them shipped via the Zonk.
Yeah, so I bought a copy of Hi, it's the Zonk. It's me. I'm the zombie. It's me. I haven't seen it, Brett. So it's nice that you just donated my Amazon unsigned copy somewhere.
Yeah, I did that.
What a bitch. Give me my, buy me another copy.
He's still got your signed copy of Life Support as well.
Ooh, Elton, do you remember this? I said, hey, I need to buy you new copies because I just donated yours. And she's like, oh, it's for a good cause. Don't worry about it.
I don't think I said that.
It's
fine that you donated my book that I signed.
No, I donated all of them.
Listen, I bought a copy and now it's somewhere.
Everything. But
also, where are my copies of Elton's books?
Book. You've only got one. One book. I'm not sending you all of my books.
It's still in my car, randomly sitting there.
Jesus.
It was the only one that I didn't ship because I haven't finished your tablet thing yet, but it's close. You should see it. But anyway.
What else are you proud of, Elton?
You have an answer, have you?
Yeah, you have an answer.
Oh.
Yeah, stupid.
It's stupid.
Like podcast-wise, I think he started with podcast, I did the podcast. So what are you proud of podcast-wise?
Well, I'm also proud of the podcast. I was going to say that it has led to meeting a lot of friends, which I've really enjoyed. But also just exposing me to all different types of work out there. It's no mystery that I have a hard time keeping up with all the reading, but it does at least keep me, you know, keeps things on my list and checking out things that maybe I wouldn't have picked up otherwise, just because the three of us kind of bring in ideas and guests to the podcast, so it's good exposure to different things.
I've read loads of stuff that I only know about because of you guys.
Yeah,
and I would just like to say on the record as well that my favorite bit about all of this podcasting thing is how much I get to speak to you guys, because you're like my little online family, and I love you both very dearly. So
yes, we are like a little family. I love you too.
It's nice.
Yes, I like our relationship brings me joy. So yeah, awesome.
It works very well for us.
It does.
What would you say is the book that you read that was the most unexpected? Like, maybe you wouldn't have picked it up otherwise because it's just not something you might have thought of, or
for our podcast specifically?
Yes, podcast wise from the last year.
I don't know, that's tough. I figure it's gonna have to be like a book from an episode that we didn't personally pitch, because the ones that we did personally pitch,
we've had some
books, right,
that they came to us, because we do get people, and if you ever are interested in hearing our opinion or sending a book to us, we have all of our information on our website and you can email in and we'll try our best. But we have some folks that contact us and then we're like, oh wow, this is a book I had never heard of. And some of them are bops. Is that the right word?
Sure. And also, we don't have a website, so I'm not sure what you're talking about.
I consider the Podbean our website.
Okay, fair.
That's fair. That is a really good question though. I think that maybe the erotic horror anthology, but I don't know that I read it specifically because of the podcast. I think I pre-ordered it and stuff to support Evelyn and some of the authors in it because I was already friends with them. But I probably wouldn't have prioritized reading the stories in it without this. But I really like them all. And I'm not sure I would have found Cat Velour's, I'm not sure I would have like seen it without the exposure of meeting her.
That's actually what I'm looking for right now.
That book is like 1000% up my alley. So it's not like it's not out of the realm of something I would normally read.
Yeah.
So that would be my answer to that too, is Cat Velour's, because it's obviously also not out of the realm of something that I would have chosen, because I really love found footage and the word that I can't ever pronounce version.
Epistolary.
That. But I don't know that I would have noticed it and grabbed it without the podcast. And I talk about that damn book all the time. I do. I bring it up all the time.
And you've gone on to read her other stuff.
And I did. I just read her newest release.
Comes up with loads of books. She's like very, very prolific writer. She's, yeah. I think she released maybe 5 or 6 books last or in the last year. And so, yeah, it would have been easy to just miss that one.
Exactly.
If we hadn't heard about it through this.
And
Ruth Anna Revens as well. I was really, I'd never read much of Ruth Anna Revens until we decided to have her on as a guest. And Brett and Chelsea, you both recommended that I read some of it. And I read her first book, and I read a few other bits, pieces, and short stories that she'd written and stuff. And I really loved it. I really loved Ruth Anna Revens. It's not something, because I think it kind of straddles into extreme horror quite a lot, which is something that I dip my toe into occasionally, but I don't, you know, expressly go out there to read a lot of extreme horror. But like, it was good to find something that was new to me, and to find an author who I respect like that, and then have a really wonderful time recording a special with her. So that was cool. Yeah.
She was a wonderful guest, but also her writing is just so
powerful.
Great. Cargo. I remember when I read Cargo, because we were on a road trip and it just happened that she just dropped it. And I was like, okay. And it was a little novellette, and I just couldn't stop. And it was so damn good. It was about so just for listeners, if you haven't read it, it's about a girl who is stuck in a shipping container with a whole bunch of other people. So I can't give any more, because anything else will ruin it.
A human trafficking kind of thing.
She puts out a ton of work all the time.
Mm. And like not just writing as well. She does editing. She does book cover design. She's really busy, and she's really a really good like supportive member of the community as well, which is really nice to see somebody out there who's doing what we kind of stand for, which is like big enough people and you know, giving people a voice. So go Ruth Anna, we love you.
We love you. We love all of you. All of our guests have been just really awesome to meet. So thank you all. Thanks for making it fun.
I was really like proud of the episode where Jolie Toomajin came on, and we talked about Aseptic and Fatally Sadistic, which was the anthology that she created to express female rage about everything that was happening with abortion rights and Roe versus Wade and all of the terrible things that happened politically around that area last year. Having her on, aside from the fact that she's a fucking delight, and she's probably one of the funniest people I've spoken to in my life. And we had such a great time recording that episode, but there was so much we had to cut because some of it was quite obscene. But yeah, just doing that one as well was good, because it was for a good cause. It was for a charitable cause. And again, reading the stories in it, I got to exposure to some writers that I now love that I didn't know about before. So
yeah,
I feel like I just keep piggybacking off of you, Elton. I'm sorry. But that was what introduced me to Kelsey AU and China Dolls.
That's on the show.
And then I got Bound Feet because of that. And this is one of the best things I've ever read, period, point blank. So I appreciate that. I don't know that I would have otherwise, because Chelsea popped in and she was like, hey, did you read China Doll? Did you read that story by Kelsey AU? And I was like, and then everything fell into place. And now I've been an obsessive fangirl, and she probably has a restraining order.
Oh my God.
That's okay. She needs one, because you are terrifying.
You are pretty scary. I would say
love horror. Okay.
I was like, as reflecting back on the year before, I think Aseptic and Faintly Sadistic might be my favorite thing that I read, or at least favorite anthology. Just so, so good. And I recently went to talk about it on TikTok. And I got fucking shadow banned. Because it's about abortion. And I made 2 videos about it. And the second one, I was like, okay, in the second one, I'll try to not say abortion and see what happens. And it's still, they only have 200 views each, which is bullshit. So, you know, it's definitely not because I'm not popular. It's
it's definitely not because of the sound of my voice.
No, I even like, whatever. But more people should check out this book and leave it reviews too, because it deserves way more accolades than it has received. It's so good.
And speaking of anthologies as well, the episode after we introduced ourselves that kind of brought us into talking about books and giving us an idea about what the format was going to be and stuff was our own Chelsea Pumpkins little 90s anthology.
My little 90s.
that was a really cool episode. It was the first one. We had a big panel of people. It was overwhelming and it was fun. And we got to talk to Chelsea as the editor. And we got to talk to all of the like individual content creators that went inside it. And it was just, yeah, that was a really, really good episode as well. That was,
thank you.
That was, you know, a really great way to start the year. And it set really, really high standards for what I expected our episodes to be like afterwards as well. And I think all of that was a testament to how good the product was and how good the people in it were, both at writing and being interviewed.
Yeah, that I'm very proud of that anthology. It was obviously a group effort, labor of love, but it's done really well. Like, I, you know, it's not going to win a Stoker, but...
she said, not bitterly.
No, I'm genuinely not bitter. But we sold like 700 copies, and that's really fucking cool. And it's just, it was like a kind of grassroots, scrappy... Mm-hmm. effort. Brett asked me to help him make a budget for marketing, and I was like,
nothing.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I spent basically nothing.
Is that because you spent money but you made it back, or is that because you not have a budget?
No, I think so. Like, I was very much I did a lot of it myself, so I didn't buy ads. I think the one thing we spent money on was we put it on Book Sirens. So we spent money on that. We did make it back. But in terms of like promoting and stuff, like I paid Cassie Daly to do like our social media templates. But then like in terms of putting them out and like filling them out and posting them and stuff, like all internal.
You did a really good job because it was everywhere, and it did straddle a lot of subgenres as well. Like I know a lot of people, I'm friends with a lot of people on Facebook from all different areas of the community, and they all got a look at it, especially when it went over to Godless and it sort of crossed over into the sort of the more extreme and like sort of the comedic side and some of the grosser parts of indie horror and stuff. They got hold of it as well, and they were like, this is such a fun idea, this is really, really good.
Yeah, so I think like the fact that it kind of has a built-in gimmick helped a lot. But and like I tried to get creative like with the merch obviously and stuff, like making pogs, you know what I mean, like I was like lean into it, like go extra, go get silly, get have fun with it. CB Jones is really good at making like silly videos and memes too, so he helped a lot. But yeah, it was, did not spend a lot of money. We by release date were in the black, so that was real. That I was genuinely very proud of that. That is something
that you should be proud of, the whole thing, because it was a quality product. It was stunning. I mean, it is stunning. I actually have it right here. The artwork is beautiful because you hired such a talented artist. This is slick.
It was just fun,
and it had like I think that actually did have two of my favorite short stories from an anthology for last year in it. Chris O'Halloran's In Between the Barbie and the Dark Blue Ranger, and Nona's
first and last album drop.
Yes, I loved that story. I absolutely loved it.
Edith.
Yeah.
Yeah, she came on.
It was such a good story. So yeah, it was a gift. It was a gift because you gave it to me, and also because you gave me the gift of writers I hadn't read before, who I've subsequently gone on to fall in love with. So
there we go.
Yeah.
So Chelsea was not the only one that had a fun little release last year. Elton Skelton released Life Support. And this is not because we're friends. This is not a biased opinion. I absolutely fucking adored Life Support. It was super, super heart-wrenching, but then it also was absolutely disgusting in several parts. It kept me confused as shit the whole time in just the right way. And then there's this place in the middle portion where I can't say specifically because it'll give it away, but it just shifts, right? And I don't know how to bring the words to the magic that book brought into my life. It was one of my favorite things that I read last year.
That's so sweet of you. Thank you.
Congratulations, Ellen.
By Life Support. Yeah. It's I think that one's going to be a bit of a slow burn because it is, like Brett said, it's all over the place. There's lots of very different things all in one book. So it's interesting to read, but unless you know kind of, or you have like a comp or like a specific genre that you can tie to it to say what it is, so difficult to market that book because it is so many different things.
Really is. I think because it's got a lot of like elements of like psychological horror, but then it also has some like grief trauma related
body horror
leanings,
some weird religious iconography that appears out of nowhere.
You have some gross out factor every now and again in there. It's so
I always get the worst friend award because Elton writes faster than I can read, so I haven't read Life Support yet and I get ragged on it all the time, and I will read it, but I did finally pick up a longer piece of his, and I just finished listening to the audiobook of Next of Kin, which is out now, and the audiobook was so well done.
Oh my god. I've never ever like been so humbled by an experience as having that audiobook made. I literally had nothing to do with it except to verify that I wanted Rain Corbin as the narrator, because they are amazing, such an expressive voice. There were several points that I'd written for sadness purposes that when they read it, their voice kind of cracked a little bit and it made me cry.
Oh my god.
And it was just it was such a nice experience to listen back to it. I was getting sent like chapter by chapter each week, and it was just a really, really quick turnaround, and the finished product was something that just to behold. I couldn't believe that it was something that I'd written when it was read by Rain. It just made it something else. It was absolutely incredible. And I'm so thankful to Steve at Lethe for choosing to make it into an audiobook, and for Rain to agreeing to voice act it. It was
the
so good.
The product is really, really high quality. Mm. Yeah, the voice acting was spot on.
Yeah.
The book itself reminds me, if you liked You, the show, or the book by Carolyn Kepnes, like the Joe Goldberg series, or even like fans of Dexter, I think those fans would love Next of Kin. Like, it has this really great kind of anti-hero, I don't know, you're rooting for the bad guy, you know, bad gays.
Yeah.
It's got sexy scenes. I'm not even a gay man and I was into it.
Even our straight male friends are like, whew, reading that at work was a little tough.
Spicy. It was fantastic. Your characterizations are always so good. You have this like great voice that's like so sharp and funny, but also emotional. So I don't know. It was great.
It is. I feel like Elton's characters are always like sardonic and they're always kind
like
of
what you know
people, but we root for them somehow.
Yeah.
It's because you know me. You root for them because you know me, and they're all basically just me on acid.
Stop it.
Yeah.
No,
I wasn't going to make that comparison.
No, I had this amazing reviewer who's read quite a lot of my work this last year, and they read my short story collection and said a lot of my work deals with loneliness and the traumatic effect that loneliness can have on a person that makes them choose violence. And I realized in that second when I read that, I was like, that's literally all my characters. All my characters are incredibly lonely people who do horrible things and then get really violent. Like, that's all my characters. Yeah. And I think that must say something about me. That's just, you know, that's just me writing, like I say, what I know.
Well, so, you know what? Let's keep the night wine coming, Elton, because I don't want you to start being a murderer.
No, no, no. I'll keep on the night wine, the 19 crimes Snoop Dogg edition, and keep pouring that back my neck each night and making.
Have you found that there? Do they have
no, I haven't.
Snoop Dogg?
No.
I'm starting to think that it's like marketed regionally, and that like I get the Snoop Dogg Cali Rosé, and you have the Revolutionary Rosé, because
because all of ours are like historical figures on the front, more like old school, like colonial paintings. 19
now
crimes.
I need to go look and see what I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll probably.
I mean,
have,
if
like,
I have the California one, you probably do too.
What? So send me a picture of this.
Okay.
Like what?
Two crimes. If you're looking to sponsor anyone, you can sponsor the Cutthroat Queens. I drink all of your wine all the time.
Yeah.
And I call it meth wine because it methes me up. So
meth wine.
Okay, so we've talked about me. That's good. But I would be like just the worst person in the world if I didn't talk about something that is my favorite thing that's happening right now. I did actually read this last year. I read it as a beta reader.
Beta.
And I also have blurbed it, but it's Brett's book. It is called Whispers of Apple Blossoms, and it is being released through Lethe Press, who released my book Next of Kin as well. So he's part of my family as well as being part of my found family online. And honestly, one of the most complex and emotional and beautifully written books. I'm not going to say too much about it right now because we are going to do a whole episode where we talk to Brett and we talk to the editor-in-chief of Lethe Press, Steve Berman, is going to come on and talk to us as well. We are going to do like a whole episode about it, but it is available now for pre-release and it's coming out on May the 1st, and you need to get ahead of the game here. So make sure that it is set to download to your Kindles or your paperback is due to arrive on May the 1st, and then just binge read it because it's so unputdownable. It is so incredibly smart and literary, and it's a wonderful piece of literature, and it's my favorite book of the moment. So yeah, we're gonna put links to the pre-order links up on Twitter and wherever else we post from.
It's hard to keep up, man. I do my best.
Instagram, the Tiki Tokis.
Brett's got Tiki
Tokis about it.
I mean, follow all of us, but Brett is doing a really he's doing a lot of hard work on TikTok promoting this and others.
He's becoming the new TikTok girly pop, and we love to see it.
I am trying to become involved in some form of social media because I'm so bad at doing it. But TikTok seems to be the most fun for me, I think.
It fits your personality perfectly.
It does. Yeah.
You are fully yourself and it just makes me laugh and I love your
videos. It's also an ADHD dream as well because you can cut and stop and think about what your next sentence is going to be. Whereas when you talk to Brett in an actual conversation, you have conversations about four different things all at once and you never know which one you're actually talking about. Nope. So
TikTok is perfect for you.
Hats and classes. Yes, Brett.
Brett does, for all of you who don't know, I think he's done it on Twitter a couple times, but he just types the most wild typos ever. But sometimes they're not real words and sometimes they are. And I've just become immune to it. Wonderfuck was a good one too. Instead of wonderful. Wonderfuck.
Hurtbrut instead of heartbreaking was my favorite one.
That was so bad.
It sounds Scottish. So every time you say it, you have to be like, Hurtbrut.
My phone does it. I don't know.
But why? You don't even try to correct it. You just keep going. And I'm just
barrel through because if I pause, I just go a different direction. I sidetrack.
So. Oh, I love getting voice memos for you where it's just you going, I don't know what I was going to say. I don't know how to delete this. Now you have to listen to this. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, and then a perfect example again the other day, we were talking about men being attractive with and without accessories, and instead of saying hats and glasses, he said hats and classes, and so now we talk about how sexy hats and glasses are.
Yes. Love a good class.
It's bullying and it's unnecessary.
It's ableism is what it is. Yeah. It's ableism. It might be ableism.
Absolutely have nearly debilitating ADHD. Even though I'm medicated for it, I'm really
bad. Is debilitating, even to me as your friend. Because you'll be like, oh my God, guess what happened? And I'm like, what? And then you just disappear.
Like, I don't know.
And then I'm like, what happened?
I forgot to reply.
My favorite was recently, he's like, oh, sorry, I wandered off mentally.
So just everybody pray for my husband.
We do every day. But also, this just proves a point that if Brett can write a 58,000 word novella with crippling ADHD, Chelsea has no excuse. So
it's true. That is true. Yeah.
True. I have just a different brand of ADHD. I have the women's kind.
Women's kind of ADHD?
Yeah, women's brand.
Is that just it's you pink. Asking me what you're going to wear to Epcot all the time? Do you like my outfit? Will it go to Epcot? No.
Oh my God. Should I wear my silver boot?
Michelle.
Yes.
Michelle is not going to help me pick out an outfit.
Michelle always helps you with your outfits.
She always tells you when you look cute. She's your biggest cheerleader when it comes to your outfits.
No, I know, but like she won't be able to help me like put it together. She is just a champion for what I do put together.
Well, then if you put something together that is nice, then Michelle will be your guide. We can't help you.
Ellen, you help me all the time.
In like a week, and Brett literally dresses like a hillbilly lesbian.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah, he does. I don't ask Brett for fashion help. Anyway, having these, I don't know, audience. I got broken gay friends. They're supposed to help me pick out my outfits.
I'm just a lonely, violent man.
Instead, I just get wandering off and meth wine rants. I got ripped off, man.
Imagine how we feel.
Yeah, right. With that one defective girl. She's so fuck
with this one white bitch from America.
Oh dear. Okay, well that was 2023, but we've got a whole year coming up of the podcast as well. Yes. So what are we gonna expect next? What happens next? What do we do now?
All right, one thing that we are doing is rebranding. Yeah. And Brett did this really fun artwork. So we're going to have a new logo. I don't know. I think that's kind of it. We're going to, you know, blast it out on social media so you'll see it. It's got our faces on it. Super cute. Mm. Thank you, Brett. You're so artistic and beautiful and smart, even though we're making fun of you. And so funny. You're the funniest one.
And we might not do quite as many specials as we did last year, but we are still going to do them. But we're going to kind of try and keep our focus to one bumper episode each month that focuses on a different point of indie horror about what's going on. We're going to talk to some gamers. We're going to talk to some authors with new works coming out, some publishing houses. We're going to have a special for celebration for Brett's release. We're just going to do lots of cool stuff. Voice actors, yes. Mm-hmm. And that is, I'm just so excited about that one because we get to talk to the creator with their tools, and it's that's going to be so exciting. So that's coming, I think, in May. So stay tuned. We've got a really a hefty year coming up for you, and we're gonna want to check it out. So stay.
We're gonna celebrate Pride again. We're gonna have a little Pride party.
Woohoo! I'm gonna drink some meth wine.
Oh shit. Don't after make a mess party. Because we've been yelled at.
I might just do some straight up meth instead.
Oh my god, it's Pride Month, baby. Do you
after the episode?
No, I'm not going to do drugs, Brett. This isn't the time for you to be hauling me off to rehab. I know your plans. Get rid of him before his books release, and then I can have all of his sales,
all 20 of them.
I know. I'm supposed to tell people that.
Cut that out.
We will have to.
So another fun thing that happened, and technically it's happening this year, but it was because of something you did last year. Miss Chelsea, you're Mrs., aren't you? Mrs. Chelsea.
I like Ms. because it's like feminist.
And this story called If Anyone Could Catch the Moon by someone named Chelsea Pumpkins made the shortlist for Tenebris Press's Brave New Weird anthology, Best of Weird Fiction, printed in 2023. And which anthology did that come from again, Chelsea?
It was printed in Anterior Skies Volume 1, which came out through Strange Elf Press.
So congratulations. We're very, very proud of you for
thank you.
The prestige of this. And we expect that you will make it into the final anthology.
Don't jinx it, it's a good story.
I don't believe in jinxing, but also I'm just telling you, if you don't make it, then we won't talk to you anymore.
Okay. Yeah, I'll
fired,
do my best.
So yeah, get in there. But also, it's a fantastic story. Get that anthology, read Chelsea's story, because it is really cute and really sweet and really lovely and a bit scary.
I think it's my most like close to my own heart story that I've written. Yeah. And I mean, we all submitted a ton of stuff to that to the Brave New World Weird Call. And I really did not expect that one I didn't expect to get named at all, but that one.
So that is a fun one because we had several guests that made this as well, because Kelsia had her China doll, and it was actually from Jolie's anthology. And
there's three stories from her anthology, from Aseptic and Faintly Sadistic, that made the list.
And then Steve Neal, who we had on here for the erotic antho. What was that one called? I can never remember. La Petite Mort.
Yes, but his story.
La Petite Mort.
La Petite Mort. His story, it was a different story, but that made it in as well. Stephen Neal, not Stred. J.W. McCarthy also made it. Lindsay McLeod.
McLeod.
Made it. And she was also a guest. And then Ryan Marie Ketterer didn't visit us last year, but she's coming on soon for the anthology that she edited. So we pick some awesome people to associate ourselves with.
Also, the Splatterpunk Awards were named finally, and Candace Nola was all over that. So congratulations.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, thanks for joining us. You've been joined by the ghosts of Chelsea Pumpkin's literary output and Midwestern mediocre hillbilly Uncle Fester. And me, Elton Skelter. We are the Cutthroat Queens, and you're welcome.
Mediocre. I have never.
Would I ever?
In front of the salad.
Waking up in a bath of ice. I'm a victim of an organized. You know it is true. You know this time you're never gonna get it. But you've already stolen.